Hi, this is William Mapother. I grew up in Louisville, Kentucky. You probably know me best as Ethan Rom in Lost, also perhaps from The Grudge and Threshold. And I'm saying hello to you from here in Knoxville with Glenn at AdventureCon.
Ready to get this thing going, guys?
Hope so.
Sure, why not?
Welcome to episode 54 of Pod Culture. Bring on the Bookie, Part B. I'm Brad.
I'm Glenn.
And I'm Christina.
In this show, we got a bunch of cool stuff. Think, Glenn, you've got your guilty pleasures for us?
Yeah, it's one I've been eagerly awaiting to watch. I finally got a copy of it. It's a movie called Alive.
Yay.
That's better alive than dead.
Yeah.
And what else we got? I think we're going to do a little geek and tell.
We got lots of stuff.
We spend too much money on crap.
I'm trying not to, but I live with him.
And we have another song by Beatnik Turtle, Take It Down. It's from their Song of the Day. It's the live version of the song, too, so pretty cool there. And some cool promos, and then we've got mailbox and emails coming up.
And I can guarantee you mailbox is going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah, there is some cool stuff. And just because this is part B, don't feel like you're missing out on anything.
Nah.
All kinds of geeky goodness here. But if you want the full HD Pod Culture experience.
Full unrated.
Go back and check out episode 53. Part
the director's
A.
cut.
And I'm trying hard not to crack up with Christina's making her
special edition.
Sorry.
Limited edition.
Yeah, right. We'll be here for a while.
Collect them all.
So much for the short intro.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, yes. I just got an email that I have some DVDs coming of some interesting Australian things. So I'll let you know when I get that.
Aussie stuff. All
Aussie
right.
stuff.
All right, well, let's get this show on the road, and we will be back with more geeky pod culture goodness right after this.
There's a new podcast called The Geologic Podcast, a balanced, calm, rational look at the world and all of the people in it.
Motherfucker! Four notes away!
Alright, here's the deal. There's this guy, his name is George Hrub, and he's got this geologic podcast. Believe me, the last thing you want to do is listen to this garbage. I mean, look at the kind of things he does. He's got this one bit, it's called Religious Moron of the Week.
Religious Moron of the Week.
Then he does this stupid bit where his grandmother talks about entertainment news.
It must be time for grandma's entertainment report.
Plus, this George character's got some strange fascination with animals where he talks about them in a thing called interesting fauna.
Interesting fauna.
I mean, it's all just so stupid. The last thing you want to do is go to www.geologicpodcast.com and listen to this garbage. Believe me, your time will be better spent making yourself a sandwich or something.
www.geologicpodcast.com.
And we are back.
Welcome back.
Everybody seemed just so sedate after the break. Took a break, relaxed a little bit.
My X-Files buzz is wearing off just because I'm very sleepy.
Oh. Well, we'll try to zip through this geek and tell segment a little bit.
And I have to get up very early tomorrow to go to the
dentist. Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, yeah. Early.
Glenn, you picked up anything cool here late?
You know, aside from the convention where I bought a bunch of toys, you know, I normally go to the comic shop like every week, but I haven't been in like 3 weeks, so I bought a big stack of comics today.
We'll start doing some more comic stuff.
Yeah.
Because I buy a crap load just about every week.
I'm so far behind on my reading. Like everything else, I'm far behind.
Yeah, imagine that.
I actually read one yesterday.
When it's time to retire,
yeah,
I'll have so much to do. It'll be great.
But your eyesight will not be as good.
Yeah.
We'll hope it will be, but
it will be. Yeah. It can't get much worse.
your house will implode upon itself.
Yeah, it'll be a black hole of geek.
a comic I've been looking forward to actually came out this week, and I picked it up and actually read the zero issue of it. It's called Black Summer.
Oh, does that sound familiar?
It's Warren Ellis.
Okay, that's probably why it sounded familiar.
And I've been looking forward to it. It kind of reminds me of a book that I actually had a little bit of involvement with called Pantheon.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Remember Pantheon?
Yeah,
was a big
Pantheon.
Epic thing from Lone Star Press, and I actually colored a couple of the covers, which was really cool. But Pantheon didn't get much press. You know, it was a great book, though. It was great. And
it was pretty cool.
I think that Black Summer will be kind of like that. Basically, the story is there's a group of seven superhumans.
Picked to live in a mansion. Oh, sorry.
There's a group of seven superhumans, and some things have gone wrong, mm-hmm. and they've kind of fallen out of vogue. But one of them decides that the president has gone into a war that he didn't have a right to declare.
Oh,
and,
Lord.
And therefore, he is responsible for anyone that's died in that war, and therefore he's a big force for evil that needs to be stopped. So he goes in and kills the president.
And, wow.
So now the other superheroes have to deal with the repercussions of that. One of the repercussions is, well, now all of a sudden the government's decided these superheroes are a menace, and maybe they need to take them out. So maybe they're going to try to kill them, and then they've got to try to deal with this guy and determine. You know, so who knows where it's going to go, but that's the initial premise, and looks pretty cool. Okay. You know, it's Warren Ellis.
Yeah, but when it comes to comics, comics are an escapism. So I don't
True.
Like
Maybe
a lot
it's just
of,
a starting off point, and they won't be like that.
A lot
the whole...
of reality, political
Well, the thing is,
crap.
In the 70s, there was lots of political reality stuff in comics, and it's starting to come back in vogue again, whether it's good or bad. I'll leave up to the reader.
I'll stick with the Marvel Ultimate line where they can steer away from at least Spider-Man, Spider-Girl.
Right.
That kind of thing.
I just read the Angel comics.
I just think it'll be cool that it'll be, you know, gritty and real. And since he's created all of his own characters and they all have cool names and cool powers and stuff, he can do whatever he wants with them. He can kill them off and whatever because it's not in the regular Marvel universe or DC universe. This is his own universe and he can do whatever the hell he wants with it. Yeah. And I don't know. It just looks intriguing to me.
Oh no! I mean, it sounds fresh, cool, but it's just—I've never been a big fan of. You know, I watch my TV. It's an escapism. I watch a movie. It's escapism. I read my comic books. It's an escapism. I don't want real world shit in my entertainment.
I agree with that. But I'm still intrigued by it.
Yeah, that's true.
In this particular instance.
Well, no, that's cool.
Also, I picked up a game I haven't had a chance to play really, but since I've got a new computer. Had to have something brand new, some new game to really...
That you're not going to play because you're going to play World of Warcraft.
You're right. I'm going to play World of Warcraft all the time. But the fact is, I was almost playing World of Warcraft at maximum limits anyway, and so cranking it up to maximum on a new computer won't be real noticeable.
It goes up to 11.
So I needed something that would really show off its power. And, of course, I talked to Stefan, who, you know, steered me in the right direction and forced me to buy this game.
He's your drug dealer.
Yeah. He told me to get Stalker, the Shadow of Chernobyl, and so far
I've heard of that one.
It looks really sharp. It's a first-person shooter.
Oh,
you and your FPS.
Yeah, well, I like shooting people, so
he owns an arsenal.
But I keep all my shooting people to the video games. So
his character's like Michael Gross in Tremors.
Aww,
it's a good character.
Tremors 80 million.
It was a great character.
Burt Gummer. So,
my dad loved those movies.
I've barely started playing, but looks like it might be pretty cool. It looks really pretty.
I bet it does. And that system you got's got some horsepower. So
yeah, I got a little horsepower there. So I'm gonna put it to the test.
So cool. You picked up anything else? Probably still recovering from the financial repercussions of Dragon Con.
Wonderfest followed by. Adventure Con,
and then followed by getting a new computer.
Yeah, two conventions in a row, and then a new computer. I'm going to be broke for a while.
Yeah, pretty much till Dragon Con, then you'll be broke again.
And then I'll be all over broke again, yeah. I'll be very broken.
No kidding. We've picked up a few things here and there.
A bunch of different stuff. Oh, it's all completely eclectic.
I've actually purchased music here of late.
Stand back.
Yeah, imagine that. I acquired it legally.
Wow.
We have been to Walmart a couple of times here in the past week or so. And the first time that we went, of course, most people can tell by my accent, is that I'm a redneck, of course.
You're not a redneck. You like musical theater. You're automatically exempt from being
a
redneck.
I am a cultured redneck, okay?
You can't like musicals and be a redneck at the same time.
Pretty much. I got a little bit of the hick. And I like country music, no bones about it. And the new Toby Keith album came out.
And NASCAR, you like NASCAR.
Yeah, drive fast, turn left, damn straight.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I like more horses.
Turning left.
Hundreds and under the hood. And a new CD came out. And Walmart does something kind of cool. With a lot of high-profile titles, they'll package this CD with, like, a DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same price as a regular CD. And, you know, there's not a whole lot on the DVD. There's, you know, a couple of videos, maybe an interview clip or something. All recycled content. But, hey, for free in with the CD, it's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
So I picked up the Toby Keith Big Dog Daddy CD from Walmart. And it's got some Live from Nashville soundcheck, bonus video.
I'm not in love with Toby Keith.
He's cocky.
This man here I could be in love with.
Yeah.
Never trust a man with two first names.
Yeah. The next CD I come up, it's going to sound a little bit of a weird combination.
It's
but
something
next
I
time
would
we
buy.
In,
it's something I would buy.
Picked up the new Bon Jovi album.
Rock on. All
right.
Well, not quite.
Because,
in theory, it's a country album.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. They had a duet and with the lead singer from Sugarland, which is Glenn talking way over Glenn's head right now, but
she's
called
good.
You Can't Go Home. Great duet.
I better be able to go home. My computer's there.
You know what? I like it. I've heard it both ways. Mm-hmm. I like it better as a duet because I like the harmonies. I'm a
sucker. He likes both kinds of music, country
okay,
and
Western.
Western.
Yeah. Blues Brothers, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And
it's so true. Okay.
Come up and down Rawhide.
Love
but
that song.
No, it's Bon Jovi, yeah. Lost Highway. I really wouldn't call it a country album. I mean, it's a little bit different than your typical Bon Jovi album. But it's more, it's got more of a rock feel than
Yay!
A country feel. And, you know, it's unmistakably Bon Jovi vocals and harmonies in the music. So that's a little bit. They don't change the style of singing.
If they
much.
Did, I'd be sad.
But it's, it's a good album. I like it. Man, I don't have anything against Bon Jovi. I got a CD or two already in there. But I picked up Lost Highway, and it again came with a bonus DVD. And it has to be country because it's got the CMT logo on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got like a sound check and a one of the CMT crossroads. You know, $13. Not bad at all.
He has aged exceptionally well for being a rock star.
And he's a football team owner.
I mean,
really? Arena football.
You think of Keith Richards and, you know.
Keith Richards will never die because all the drugs he has taken is going to preserve his body.
He's embalmed himself from inside out. But Bon Jovi has aged really well, I think.
I thought he was giving up on the music thing and would be acting more. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was in that Vampires
mm-hmm.
sequel.
Which was really good.
Yeah, it was good and nobody paid any attention to it.
No, I wish they had. It was good.
And he was in that. That horror movie where he played a teacher.
I can't think of it off the top of my head. He's done a fair bit of acting.
He was in...
Of course, so is Dwight Yoakam, too.
Yeah, that's
enough.
True.
Don't be talking about Dwight
Yoakam.
McGraw.
So.
Grandma's going to strike you down.
Done something.
I think
Toby Keith's got a movie coming out, too.
I'm not in love with him.
I'm not either. He's a cocky bastard.
Yeah,
but
he really
I like his songs.
Yeah. And, I got a CD. I acquired it only till I can order it properly because I'm impatient. Sandy Tom.
Yeah.
She is an English singer, and she's fabulous.
I buy CDs. She acquires it, and yet she still gets on me for a torrenting.
No, but see, this is the first CD I've acquired that I don't actually own a copy of
okay.
yet. But it's really good. She has a couple of songs that I liked called What If I'm Right, and... I wish I was a punk rocker. And it's fabulous.
Well, once again, two first names. Don't trust
her. Her name is actually Alexandria, I believe.
Another thing that I've acquired, that I don't know if you had heard about this or seen it yet, the Robot Chicken Star Wars special.
I didn't really get most of it.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it.
I didn't really get it, but it was cute. It was very cute.
It magically appeared on the hard drive. Don't know how that happened.
Well, you can't go to the store and buy it.
Right. Yeah. So I it's got it and burned it to disk and watched it in the living room the other night. Pretty damn funny. It was just a whole episode of Robot Chicken themed around Star Wars, and it was just funny as hell. A couple of bits I had seen before. They had done sketches, but mostly new content. Although I have to say the funniest stuff was the interstitials with the crew sitting around talking
about it. God, they're dorks. I love it.
And, you know, there's Seth Green and his buddies sitting around talking about how they did the show and that kind of stuff. And then they're, like, firing Nerf guns off camera at
each other's heads.
Yeah, you know, like, you have one of the creators sitting there in a chair talking about it, and, like, Seth Green's off camera and just fires one at this guy right in the nuts. You know, it's just, they were just...
I love
Seth Green. Assing around. It was hilarious.
No, I can't wait for season two of Robot Chicken.
Oh, me
Robot
too.
Chicken. Freaking hysterical.
I hope they don't try to change it.
September? September, like, 4th or something
okay.
like that.
I'm afraid they're going to try to improve it, and it's going to make it worse.
No.
I just leave it alone. It's perfect the way it is.
They did the whole opening, but instead of the mad scientist, it was Emperor Palpatine, and the chicken was Darth Vader, and they did him on the table. Oh, my God. It was great. Then they did the... they changed the theme, whereas it was literally emerging between the Robot Chicken theme and the March of the Imperial Stormtroopers. So you're oh my God, it was hilarious. Another thing that we got, actually Christina got.
Oh yes. Because
you want to talk about this one, dear?
Because Brad is wonderful. He emails me at work saying, "I got you a Prezi today." I'm like, uh-oh, he got me Sesame Street Old School, 1969 to 1974, Volume 1.
No blessed freaking Elmo.
No, this is pre-Elmo when Big Bird was scary and Ernie was straight.
That's probably when I was watching it.
Seriously, I mean, it's got...
Ernie's always been straight. Bert's a flaming homo.
Big Bird was scary, though, in those early years. He was creepy. It's got...
I mean, no offense on that, but, you know, Bert's definitely the flamer. Ernie, I think Ernie's straight.
Sesame Street. That's why you've got the rubber ducky fetish.
a little bit.
Did we talk about our latest rubber ducky acquisition?
No, not yet.
The Spider-Man rubber ducky that we have in the bathroom?
No, we don't. Yeah. Thank you very much. I found that on eBay.
Yes, Christina found it on eBay. She goes, I got something for...
I ordered you a Prezi. And he's like, oh, God.
Yeah. And it's literally a rubber ducky, and it's red. The eyes are the white Spider-Man eyes, and then there's webbing drawn on the duck.
Because we've had a rubber duck in the bathroom for every other holiday. We needed a Spider-Man rubber duck to go with the Spider-Man decor. And I didn't think you could actually find one. I'm thinking, okay, if I can order a red one, I can draw on the, you know. It's like, nope, they had one.
Yeah, it's pretty damn cute.
But I'm in love with my Sesame Street Old School.
And the latest acquisition, I ventured back on eBay.
Because eBay makes me happy.
eBay makes me happy. Of course, the last couple of times I was very frustrating because I had a bastard.
Subliminal messages.
Yeah.
Bastard.
And, of course, we watched Doctor Who, and one of our famous episodes was Human Nature and Family of Blood.
I cried.
But it was based on a novel that came out while Doctor Who was on its extended cancellation hiatus thing in the, you know, mid-80s to when it came back. And about 95, I think, 95 or 96, the novel Human Nature came out. And
look in the back of the book. this way, it's an official.
Nah, screw it. It was mid-90s. And this was what...
We don't need any facts to muddy up our show.
Fact, please. Fact or crap. But yeah, the new Doctor Who Adventures, Human Nature by Paul Cornell, and this is what the episodes were based on.
And Paul, we love you so much.
And it was a very good. Of course, it was written for a different doctor. But it's
Sylvester McCoy?
Yeah.
Look in the front. Look in the front. Sylvester McCoy.
Yep, Sylvester McCoy. Thank you. Who looks kind of like Monk in that picture.
A little
right
bit.
Yeah.
He'd be a cute doctor. Could you imagine?
Tony Shalhoub's the doctor.
I love him.
But this book, it's just about out of print because it went on Amazon and it was like 15, 16 bucks.
When I linked the book on Amazon in the other episode that we had done, there was one copy left, and it was like $15.99.
Plus shipping.
Plus shipping.
Yeah, and went on eBay to see if anybody had it, found one auction, didn't get that, and found another auction where it was Human Nature and two other Doctor Who books. Ended up winning the auction for like $20, and it was like $3 shipping or something like that. So for like $23, I got three novels.
And they're in completely pristine condition.
Yeah, they look like it just came off the bookshelf.
Yeah, they're gorgeous.
So either the guy was anal retentive about how he kept his books.
Well, they are in plastic bags.
Yeah, well, it could be shipping.
Just in case they got
but,
wet.
Yeah, it's got the Human Nature and two Doctor Who Missing Adventures novels. The Plotters by Gareth Roberts and Goth Opera by Paul Cornell. So, and I believe both of those guys had written for the show as well. Not 100% certain, but I'm pretty sure they had.
Well, I know Paul adapted Human Nature and Family Blood as a screenplay. So, yeah, okay. He did.
Cool. Well, I knew Paul had written it, but I'm not 100% certain.
He was adorable in the Confidentials. He was so...
Oh, yeah. He big geek, too.
No, he was just glowing like Christmas.
All right.
It was fabulous.
Do we have any more geek acquisitions to talk about?
Yes.
Yeah, what else do we got? Oh, yes.
You asked me to remind you.
How can I forget about that? Yeah. Of course, we always talk about, you know, my favorite comic shop, Comic Book World on Old Ship.
Hi, Doug.
And was in there with Shane, you know, doing my usual Wednesday thing during lunch. Got my books and look up, and Doug had this big lithograph. And it was Buffy. It was a cover art for Buffy volume, or Buffy, the new season 6, whatever.
Eight.
Thank you. That's what I said. Season 8, number 1. It's a cover art blown up real nice.
Beautiful.
And it's $100. Why was it $100? Because, of course, it's a nice lithograph. Those are not cheap. But it was also signed by the artist. Not only was it signed by the artist, but it was signed by Joss Whedon.
Aww.
Yeah. Because apparently, for like every 100 copies that the store ordered, they got a lithograph signed by the artist. All right, that's cool. And then for every like 250 or so, they got the lithograph autographed by the artist and by Joss Whedon. So I saw that. I'm like, oh, man, can't, you know, it's...
See, if you had saved your Spree card, you would have only had to pay $6.
And I would never have read Runaways either. And Runaways was a damn good series of
yes,
books.
Yes, you would have.
And I look up, I'm like, I couldn't get it. So I come home and talk to Christine about it, and she gave me a virtual smack upside the head.
Because he's like, I don't know.
She's like, it's Joss Whedon, dude.
Okay, like, if it were anything else in the world, I would say to you, you don't really need it.
But it's Joss Whedon.
And it's gorgeous.
So I call the comic shop. Because, you know, that would be a hot ticket item. They only get one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I call the comic shop.
Got him on speed dial.
Like,
practically.
Yeah.
Practically. I love it.
Well,
it's
no,
wonderful.
It's not speed dial. I have the number of the comic shop memorized. It's
wonderful.
And call him up. Doug, you know, I don't even mean this. This is Brad. And he's like, oh, yeah, hey. You know, knows when the comic shop owner knows you by voice.
He's a Muppet.
Yeah.
Doug's a Muppet.
So
I'm
like,
he's adorable.
You have that Buffy print? Yeah. So you mind putting that back for me? He's like, yeah, no problem. So he takes the one print down, and I go in next day or day after and pick it up.
Yeah.
And it's nicely framed and hanging up in the Pod Culture Studio in a place of honor right around my Buffy shrine.
Shrine.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I got a whole bookshelf of Buffy stuff and trinkets and miscellaneous crap.
If I can find a link for just the image, I'll post it.
I think I got one I can put up.
Okay.
But yeah, it's up there with my other couple of Buffy related autographs. I've got a Nick Brendon autograph
and his very ugly hat.
And James Marsters.
That might make a good show art. So
yes,
I can find that and make it out.
I can do that.
Yeah. See what we can do. Actually, I do have Buffy art. Yeah, we'll see what we can come up with for it. So, well, do we have any other geek acquisitions?
Not that I can. I'm sure as soon as we stop talking, I'll think of something fabulous.
Probably.
Okay.
But,
yeah.
That's all right. We can always save it for the next show.
Yes.
All right. Let's take a break, and we will be back right after this.
Bob Nerdly is a real Geico Insurance customer, not an actor. To help him with his message, we've hired professional voice actor John Bell.
I was having problems downloading my podcast.
In a world where critical information has to get through.
I went to chuckchat.com and clicked on TechNrum and gave it a listen. Tech, science, sci-fi, interviews, it was great.
A new wind was beginning to blow.
Chuck and Craig are funny, informative. I don't know what I would have done without them.
In the fight for justice, two men stood up to help those in need.
Geico Insurance. Only available by listening to Technorama at chuckchat.com.
Feed your inner geek. My throat is starting to hurt.
No need to worry. We're very discreet here. Sit down and indulge yourself in Glenn's guilty pleasures.
Pod Culture is not responsible for lost sanity, nor will it refund the 2 hours you just spent watching a movie you didn't like.
Alrighty. You know, I'm feeling a little bit guilty here. So,
you hear all that chocolate, that's no surprise.
Yeah, if I'd put that segment before this one.
Well, there's always some kind of chocolate, so okay. We're all right.
All right, Glenn, what do you have on tap for Guilty Pleasures for us?
I've been really looking forward to this one, and I finally got a copy of it.
As opposed to looking backward?
That's right.
All right.
It's better not to look backwards. Always look forwards. Alive. Now, there's been a movie called Alive before. I think it was probably about, like, eating people in the...
Yes, I've seen that movie.
But this isn't that movie.
Mm-hmm.
This movie, Alive, is a Japanese movie based on a manga. Never watch anything like that, do I?
Oh, I think it's a twist for you there.
Yeah. It says from the creator of Versus, which if you haven't seen Versus, you might want to check it out. And Azumi, whatever, which I have and haven't watched yet. I hear it's fantastic, but I haven't gotten around to it.
I've never heard that from before from him.
Let's put this on the list.
I have this, but I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah. But this one I watched as soon as I got it. I've been looking for it, but I didn't really want to pay like $30 new for it.
Woo!
I got it at Wonderfest, and they had a, you know, Sunday, everybody wants to pack up and doesn't want to have to pack things, and they'll sell it cheap. I got it for $20.
There you awesome. Go.
It's the 2-disc director's cut.
Nice.
Of Alive.
Which is the average cost of DVD anyway, really, when
yeah.
you think about it.
16, 17, 18 bucks, yeah.
Plus tax.
And this is going to be a short review because I don't want to give away too much. But it's an unrated version.
All right.
Director's cut.
More boobs, more blood.
Yeah. Well, sort of.
Not so much.
Okay, here's stylistically, from looking at the trailers, it looked kind of like it was going to be like a Matrix-style movie or something like mm-hmm. that. But lots of the reviews compare it to a movie you really love,
no?
The Cube.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
I like... Well, you know why I like that one, don't you?
Well, the actress.
Nicole DeBoer, yeah.
Two reasons?
Mm-hmm. She should put a...
Two reasons?
No, she's not really gifted.
Oh.
She should put a G after her last name.
Oh, Nicole DeBoer, yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Aw, okay.
Considering that she was on Star Trek.
Poor thing. Probably heard that for many years.
I'm such a geek.
Her career hits the dead zone.
Oh.
Okay. So, Alive. Alive. Why is it called Alive? Well... You've noticed I mentioned many times I like revenge flicks.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of ways, the story seems a little bit like The Crow, actually. Okay.
Nice.
You gotta love The Crow.
Cube meets The Crow, okay?
Cube meets
like
The Crow,
it.
Okay. What we've got here is a guy, his girlfriend is raped, and he goes and kills the men that raped her.
Okay. As well he should.
As
yeah.
well he should. Well, he ends up, there are other things, I'm not gonna give all the details, but... He ends up in the electric chair.
Oh.
And he supposedly dies. But afterwards, they let him out and they give him the option. Okay, you can do what we say or we can really kill you. You know, it's your choice.
Hmm.
You can really be dead or everyone will think you're dead, you know. So he agrees to take part in these weird experiments. And they put him in a room with another killer. and monitor them and watch them. And there's some weird, sinister X-Files type purposes behind what they're doing, you know? So that's where I can't really get too detailed without revealing the mystery. But there's some weird sci-fi kind of stuff going on with why they're in the room, why they're analyzing the way they react to each other and what happens. And it does end up with a lot of cool action and special effects.
A little bit like
the first Saw, too. You've got the two characters that are in a room, kind of locked together.
I still want to see that.
The first one's interesting. The rest of them are just torture porn.
Do you have the first one?
Nope.
Okay.
I've got it.
Okay. Yeah.
Not really my kind of movie, but it was kind of clever, so I picked it up. Everybody else said get it, so yeah. Alive was, it was really cool. Unfortunately, I had, it took me so long to get it, I actually kept searching for more stuff about it, and I actually found the manga online and had found out a lot of things and knew a lot of where it was going. I probably would have enjoyed it better if it had been totally fresh.
Right.
But that's why I'm being so cryptic about exactly where it goes and what's going on. But suffice it to say, if you like any of those movies I mentioned before, or if you like Versus, then
I love The Crow.
I think you'll find it intriguing and well done. And the lead character does a really good job of playing this really despondent, you know, he might as well have been killed in the electric chair because he has no joy in life. You know, I mean, he does a great job with that. And it gets pretty interesting.
How's the soundtrack?
It's one of those where it was really appropriate for what it was, but didn't really stick with me as, hey, I got to hear this.
Because sometimes it totally doesn't fit at all, and it makes it weird.
Right.
So this is more of a, like a character-driven than effects-driven?
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, like I said, through most of it, it's these characters interacting with each other in a cell. So, I mean, very character-driven. You don't get any effects until, like, the last quarter of the movie, probably.
Cool. Well, sounds know. Good.
Yeah. You know, like with the electric chair, if you see that or whatever. So, all right.
It's like I said, I was really looking forward to it, and I did really enjoy it. And check it out if you get a chance. I mean, it might be easier to find it to like rent or something
Netflix,
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could never sign up for Netflix. I'd have to quit my job.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to quit my job so I could stay home and watch all these things that I need to see.
Yeah, I know. We haven't kept up on what we bought. And that's without Netflix.
I know.
Of course, we also have, you know, BitTorrent, too.
No, so. But all the stuff we get, I'm like, oh, I want this. But, oh, there's so much other stuff we need to watch.
No kidding.
Well, it's like me and special features.
Nine seasons of X-Files.
I always have to buy the special deluxe version with all the extras.
Oh, yeah.
And
never watch any of the extras.
I used to. I used to really enjoy it. But now, first of all, more things have extras than used to. And second of all, I have trouble finding time to watch the features,
right,
let alone the extra features. So, yeah, whatever. But this is a 2-disc version. I haven't even looked at the second disc yet.
All right.
If it's anything like the Phantom of the Opera, the second disc is better than the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the second disc of Phantom was really cool.
Oh, geekasm galore.
Yeah, so, Alive. Make sure you pick it up.
Yeah,
or Netflix it. Check out your local Blockbuster or some other video type of store.
Because they always have the weird stuff like that on sale.
No kidding. And we will be back right after this.
It's the song of the day.
Size, you got your own boy. Eric Gilmer, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, is it Christmas time?
It's better than Christmas.
Because we got some prezzies in the mailbox.
I love prezzies.
That's right. I actually stopped and checked the P.O. box.
And there was a plethora of prezzies.
Which is a red letter day in and of itself, my friend.
Aw, right. Poor Glenn. Leave him alone.
I think Christina's all hyped up about that. You want to tell your little story there?
I am. I never get prezzies that are just for me. And Mike Bartley, thank you so you have no idea. I'm glowing like Christmas.
Glenn gave that to her right before we started recording, and it delayed recording for a good 20 minutes.
Yeah, because I couldn't stop hugging them.
Hold on. Well, they can't hear you when you're off mic.
Sorry. he sent me a whole stack of X-Files magazines, and oh my God.
I mean, this is like 5 inches, 4 or 5 inches thick of magazines.
The X-Files magazine, Sci-Fi Entertainment, a couple entertainment weeklies, a Newsweek, and 2-3 Cinescapes.
Cool.
All X-Files centered. And oh my goodness, it's like reliving my second childhood, even though I never left the first one.
I don't think anybody here has really left their childhood. Our toys have just gotten larger and more expensive.
He sent a note that says, "Love the show. I hope you find these of interest." Oh my!
You have no idea.
I'm not going to sleep. I'm going to sit up and read these.
Yeah, I know. And yet you have to be up at 7 a.m. to go get your teeth drilled.
I don't care.
She doesn't have to be awake for that.
No, I can be unconscious for that.
I do like what your idea that you had.
What?
Of taking the 15-year-old magazine.
Taking one of these with me, reading it in the waiting room, and see if I get any weird looks.
It was on there on the table.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much, Mike. If there's anything we can send you, just name it.
Now, I got something from Mike earlier, actually.
What was that?
I don't know.
Toolbox fell over.
I've had it for a while, actually. I just finally got around to watching it, and I've actually sent him an email about it. But he has Guyver 2,
ooh,
Dark Hero, on Laserdisc, which has lots of extras.
Your own heart.
Yeah, which weren't available on the... it's the Japanese version.
Awesome.
And he actually burned a DVD for me.
Sweet.
With the movie and all the extras. So I sat down at work the other day.
I want that job, too.
Watched all the extras to Dark Hero. It was very cool. It's cool seeing the people running around in the monster suits with their masks off and stuff.
That's awesome.
Practicing stuff. There's all sorts of, bloopers, behind-the-scenes stuff, and them making the costumes. And
Neat. Testing
them out. They're not painted yet and stuff, and they're running around. And interview with Steve Wang,
awesome,
who directed the movie. So that's very cool. So it was really neat to see that. I was like, wow, I wish I could have seen that back in the day when it came out.
Yeah.
It's sorry that it took so long to finally see all that behind-the-scenes stuff, but it was really neat.
That's so cool. Oh, Mike, you are 30 shades of awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much.
And Christina and I got a couple of things. Well, actually, the whole Pod Culture crew, but
yes,
it's more of an interest to Christina and I because Glenn is several behind.
That's okay. He'll catch up.
But
or we'll torture
Mark
him.
Mark Pinnell.
Hi, Mark.
Had sent us not one, but 2 Doctor Who compilation DVDs. And these are some custom made DVDs.
They're beautiful,
Series 3 of the new Doctor Who series. And it's takes us almost up to where we are currently. Mm. I think right now we're only one episode behind now, because it's DVDs. I guess this is season 3, disc 2. And this disc has Daleks in Manhattan, Evolution of the Daleks, The Lazarus Experiment, and 42.
See, the only thing I wasn't keen on the Daleks in Manhattan was the squishy phallic kind of thing going on.
Human Dalek.
Yeah.
Human Dalek hybrid.
Squishy, no.
It was kind of cool.
Squishy bad.
Looks like he had a big starfish on his head.
He looked, no.
Like Starro.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I thought, but not too many people would get the reference.
Okay.
And then the other disc... Of course, season 3, disc 3.
Yay!
human nature and the family blood. Which
Let's
was
not talk about that. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Because it'll make
Excellent
me cry.
Two-parter.
Because it's so good.
And then episode Blink, which has very little of the Doctor in it, actually. But was really
Oh, it's fantastic.
Really good.
It makes you freak out when you ride past a cemetery now.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. We may geek about that a little later.
Yeah.
And,
it's not really spoilery because there's no continuity,
depending
really.
Depending on when I pop this into the episode, we may have already geeked about it a little bit.
Seriously. Oh, my God. It's so good.
But thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Very, very much.
And we actually have some feedback
yeah.
as well.
Do we suck? Do we have to go home?
We are home, dear.
I know.
We're recording in the spare bedroom.
They don't have to know that. We could have some swanky studio.
It is swanky. It is a swanky studio.
I've been in lots of studios. This is more interesting than a studio.
All right. The first email I have is from Emily McFadden.
Hi, Emily.
Otherwise known as Emily from Ohio.
Hi, Emily in Ohio. Where in Ohio are you from?
North
or South?
Say.
You don't have to say exactly where. North or South?
But she's from the Three Heroes podcast. We played the
cool.
the promo
yes.
in the last episode.
Yes, yes.
She's from Ohio.
Ohio, yes. Silver. Hey, just wanted to say awesome show and congrats on your 50th episode.
Thank you.
So, which is funny, since I didn't find you guys until episode 45 or so. Well, you need to go back and listen to the rest of
you
them.
You can skip the first couple.
About the first eight, I guess.
Eight now. Yeah.
Well,
I was
no,
in those.
The first one was a test.
Right. Oh, the episode zero, testing yes. 1, 2, 3. Oh, that was bad. Right after I finish up with Red Dwarf, I guess I got to check out more Doctor Who, thanks to you guys.
Oh, Emily.
Yes, you do.
Let's talk about Red Dwarf. Email me.
Yeah. This may seem like a funny request, and it's just a request. Please forgive me. I'm new at podcasting, and I hate requesting stuff.
Oh, please,
podcaster,
request away.
Ask.
We like it.
But I co-host a show called The Three Heroes Podcast, and our awesome producer, Paul, created us a promo.
Hi, Paul.
I was wondering if you'd be interested in a promo exchange.
Yes, please.
I don't know if you guys play just Farpoint Media stuff,
nah.
Which we don't. We play promos of shows that we like.
Everybody,
and it
everybody.
It just happens that a lot of them happen to have been that.
Right.
So if you're not interested, that's totally awesome as well. Our site is over at www.3, and that's the number 3,
right.
heroes.net.
And they are linked in the previous episode.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the time, and congrats on 50 episodes.
Thank
I'm
you.
Looking forward to 50 more.
Aw, thank you, Emily.
Yeah, but I had gotten that after we had recorded the previous episode, but before I actually put it out, so I was able to get the promo in the episode
cool.
52.
Yep.
50 more episodes. I'm tired just thinking about it.
That's not so long, though.
That's a lot of sitting on the couch talking.
No, and that's different.
Aren't
out?
You glad we're so good at it, though?
Oh, it's rough. Alrighty. Let me tell you.
Then I have an email from David Anderson.
Hi, David.
Some of which I kind of have to edit. I'm not deliberately leaving it out, David.
You're
but,
supposed to say, Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Anderson. I
Hi,
can't
David.
Really do the voice.
No.
But,
I'll talk
David,
to you later.
Hugo Weaving voice.
Some of the stuff I'm going to have to leave out because Glenn
it's
is.
A spoiler.
It has a lot to do with the season finale of Lost, and Glenn's a season behind, and we don't want to spoil him.
No. Even though,
because
it's,
he owns
such
a gun.
Even though it's such a tangled web, he probably wouldn't. He'd be all right.
he goes, talks about the season finale of Lost, some of his theories, and what we think about it. Then he goes on to say, will you talk about the Sci-Fi Channel's anime block Anna Monday soon? Which, I didn't know they had one.
We're going to start watching it.
I want to put in about, I should have given this one to you because you could probably pronounce them better. I want to put in about Tokoko. T-O-K-K-O. I said it's two-thirds Chud and Demon Hunting equals good.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
And one-third incest humor equals bad. Depending on how it's done. I don't know. You know, we are in Kentucky, David.
Ooh. But we're not from
where
Kentucky.
A lot of people, the family tree, you go straight up, just log in the ground.
Bad,
no branches.
Bad, bad, bad.
Uncle Dad.
I am my own grandpa.
He goes, and I guess he's talking about the Sci-Fi Channel. He goes, props for airing Ghost in the Shell, Solid State Society. He goes, I like that so much more than Innocence. Yeah. And then apparently, I guess this is directed to me in my choice of anime. I go, Steam Boy, sigh, there are many better choices out there. David Anderson, Marlboro, Connecticut.
Hi,
which,
David.
There probably are many better choices. However, that was also
$5. Oh, David. And I did not forget about the Three Musketeers, the mint dark chocolate Three Musketeer bar. and we found them at Walmart.
Yep, found them at Walmart the other
night. So we picked up three, and they'll be in the next Geek Cuisine.
They'll definitely be in a future one.
Yes. Because if we don't have them soon for Geek Cuisine, I may just eat them.
I missed that Ghost in the Shell movie. I'll have to...
How did you miss that?
I don't know. I guess I'll have to acquire it.
Glenn said the A word. Glenn said the A word before Brad did. Yeah. It's Armageddon.
Sorry.
She said the A word too.
Beat me.
She said beat.
Beat.
But I've got tons of anime. I haven't watched Steam Boy yet. I've been wanting to see it, but geez, I mean, I know. I've been getting anime since you could only get it, like, bootlegged and fan-subbed, and it wasn't available elsewhere, you know, otherwise.
You have volumes and volumes and all kinds of anime.
Yeah,
you
I've got two giant shelves of anime. It's, I mean, two big bookcases full of nothing but anime, you know, so.
And that's just DVDs.
Yeah, that's just the DVDs, yeah. And I got another bookcase full of VHSs and bootlegs of.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, I've been over to the Glenn Palace a few times. And
Casa de Glenn.
Yeah.
But I love the Ghost in the Shell series. Mm-hmm. And the movies were always good, but not really what I wanted them to be. Actually, the Ghost in the Shell TV show is a lot more like I wanted the movies to be. I mean, the movies were beautiful and they were cool, but, you know, the more the action and the intrigue and stuff, you know, from the TV show was a lot cooler.
Do you have some forum feedback over there?
Yeah, but you're so good at it, I'll give it to you.
Yeah. Brad's like, oh, I hate you.
Yeah, you're right. Well, here, enough of me talk as it is. Okay, went through and grabbed some posts people have made on the forums, which are over at forums.podculture.net.
Come and talk to us.
Or forum.podculture.net.
And both. I actually signed up for it.
Yeah,
saw that. I got
my little section.
Yeah,
which
and you
I
haven't done anything with
it. Yeah.
I don't have a section. Do I have a section?
No. We've got our podcast, and I made a Guilty Pleasures segment for him.
I see.
On the there. And if those URLs aren't working, they will within a couple of days.
Yes, they're.
Because that was one of the victims of these new moving over to the new server.
It's growing.
All
pains.
The subdomains went bye bye. But if you go to the podculture.net site, there are links to there's about three different places the forums are linked. I think there's on the left column. If you look, you'll see an official Podculture forums link. You can click on that, and that'll take you to the forums.
I think it's funny that you have official in big letters, like, official!
Well, you know.
As opposed to all those fake ones.
All the fan things.
This is the official
exactly.
Forum.
Damn straight.
And, it's not the unauthorized biography. It's totally legitimate.
Exactly. And the if you look under contact info, there's a contact info tab at the, right under the banner. Click on that, and that'll take you to the contact info page, which, of course, has addresses and phone numbers, and there's
emails
a link for the forum. You go there, and then there is an actual forum tab at the, again, on that same strip of information. You click on that, and boom, you can go straight to the forums from that.
And I believe you have to sign up if you want to read them, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's,
that's mainly
it's
to
free,
keep spammers out.
Easy.
You know, it won't keep them out, but it'll cut down big time on it. So, yes, I do apologize. You do have to register for the forums, but, you know, registration's free, and it's...
It worked. It made me sign up.
Yeah. Well, it's just that, you know, a lot of forums get a lot of spam. No said on the previous incarnation of the forums, so it helps cut down on a little bit.
That's cool.
But, let's see. In regarding episode 50, this post is from Captain Fat Pants.
Hi, Captain.
Those loved heroes. Skipped most of the season of Smallville. Torrented the finale.
Sounds like a French
fragile.
Word.
Yeah, fragile. Must be Italian. I torrented the finale because I had heard they had an interesting creation for one of Soup's villains, which they did.
It was cool.
Yeah, and didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cheesy how they introduced him, but cool.
Okay, and this is again from the same thread that's on the forum, the episode 50, the Big 5-0 Show Part A. This post was by Freehold South.
Hi.
Again, two of those guys from the old
old forums.
They like us. They're crazy.
Heroes. I was hooked from day one. It was just my son and I. I had been trying to stay together on them. So yesterday we finished the series up.
Awesome.
Lost. Never cared to watch. Which, dude, you're missing out.
Well,
a best friend sat me down and had me watch the first 6 episodes. Didn't do anything for me. It's weird because it just, I was kind of pulled in after a while. The first one, it took you a little while to get used to it. And then after you started getting involved in all the twists and stuff.
I want a Desmond action figure.
You know, it says it didn't do anything for me, never has. You know, to each their own, I guess.
Uh-oh.
Veronica Mars suffered the same, I can't even say this word. Smallville is one that I regret not finding. I'm not even going to. E-N-N-U-I. That's what I thought.
Henri?
Smallville is one that I did not. I regret not finding earlier. I'm very far behind. Sounds like Glenn. No, I had to put that one in. Might take years to catch up. Heck, with the missus being so slow to sit down with me and geek out, I'm still behind on. He's got BG, so I'm going to assume that's Battlestar Galactica. I might never catch up. Freehold South.
But see, that's okay, because then you can prolong the joy. Because when you get close to the end of a series like we are on Farscape, it's kind of sad.
We're on the last volume of discs.
Makes me sad.
Of course, then again, we still have Peacekeeper Wars.
But then there's nothing after that.
Now, Danny. Danny had sent me an email once about how I mentioned before that I'm not so quick to jump on board with things that are popular, mm-hmm. and she wrote me and said, yeah, I feel the same way about stuff like that, and I don't know. I mean, it's just because something's big and it appeals to the mass audience, you know?
Oh, yeah. Like Buffy. I didn't get into Buffy until season 4.
I was season...
And then when it started airing daily on FX, and then, you know, I kind of started with season 4 because it was a very good jumping on point. And then went back and watched the daily episodes on FX and got cut up that way.
The first thing I ever saw of the series was Hush mm-hmm. in reruns on FX. So however many years into the show that was, plus the rerun time.
Well, like Smallville, I was afraid it was going to be some teen soap opera thing, and I just...
And for a little while. There's
some of that, yeah.
But, yeah. And, you know, even though it started getting popular, I still was slow to jump on board because, you know, I just don't want to, I don't know. Until because it's popular doesn't mean I'm going to like it or, you know, I don't want to like it just because it's popular.
Until they had sets for $20 at Best Buy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, really. Exactly. Then I could own them all and watch them at my own pace. Yeah.
Yeah. It's again, it's different, but it's very good. And I think we got one final email. Michael Hickerson.
Hi, Michael.
Subject is disagreement on Heroes and Veronica Mars.
Okie dokie. Lay it on us.
Brad and company. Listening to the first half of episode 50. Congrats to y'all on the big anniversary episode.
Thank you.
Needless sucking up aside. I have to disagree with Brad and Christina on a couple of things in the TV segment.
Please do.
Namely, Heroes and Veronica Mars. Which, okay. When it comes to this, it seems like people are one of two things.
Diametrically opposed.
Yeah, not a lot of middle to them. I must be one of the few, but I found Heroes finale to be one of the bigger disappointments of the finale season.
I agree.
See, I disagree.
See, I liked it, but I wasn't insanely impressed like I expected to be. Well, it was okay, but
it wrapped up everything. It was a cliffhanger, but it's not a cliffhanger in a traditional sense. It's more of just a teaser opening for volume 2.
It was good, but I was still kind of disappointed. It wasn't. It was missing something for me.
Honestly, were it for how poorly 24 limped to the finish line, Heroes would have won this award hands down.
Ooh.
And having never watched 24, wouldn't know.
I own the first three seasons now.
I'm sure we will. Have you watched it?
I haven't watched it yet.
That's what I thought. No, I haven't watched 24.
I'm sure we'd like it.
I didn't care for the fact the first few minutes were all recap of things we had already seen, and then the resolution to the Exploding Man plotline was so apparently obvious.
Yeah.
And the season-long anticipated battle with Sylar really let me down.
He shouldn't have been so easy to kill. Well, kind of kill, whatever, but...
I wanted a few more punches and a sword of the gut. This guy is a big bad.
And poor Glenn's like, oh, I'm totally screwed now.
He should take a lot more to bring down.
Poor Glenn's totally screwed now. Yeah. A little bit. It's a roundabout way. There are twists and turns, so it's not so bad.
There are all kinds of twists and turns.
I mean,
And you're right. I probably should have edited that.
There's future people. No, but there are future people and past people and current people, and they all cross timelines. And so,
everything could change because Hero travels through time.
Yeah, so there's still a roundabout way to get to it.
My big question is, do I buy the regular edition or do I buy the high-def edition of
Heroes?
Well,
let's put it this way. The regular edition is about half the price.
Yeah. And I don't have a high-def player yet.
And you don't have a high-def player yet. But then again, you have a 360 and you get one pretty not that difficultly. Yeah.
And it's cool, but it's not as special effects heavy. So it's not like the high-def's going to make it that much cooler. Yeah.
And a good upscaling DVD player, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm set there. Okay.
I mean, like I said, it's half the price, and do you have a 1080p television?
Yeah, you wouldn't spoil them on yours.
Well, maybe the monitor at work,
Yeah, and the new monitor at home is 1080p as well.
Really?
Awesome.
Yes. Cool.
We're going to your house to watch TV now.
Don't know what that is, but I want one. I hate that commercial.
Continuing on, as for Veronica Mars, I liked some of season 3, but not all. It's
little bits.
They had some good parts, but for the most part, I think it sucked, but not all. I think the standalone mysteries were a huge mistake and never gelled. I also have to say I disagreed on the episode where the guys who were vandalizing the restaurant. That was just too much like an after-school special for my liking.
It really was.
I know, but it had one of the funniest damn scenes of the season.
The lines were good, but the whole thing was just like, okay, why is this episode here?
That said, I liked the finale episode, if only it gave Veronica some personal connection to the mystery. That is, what drove season 1 and 2 in my IMHO, in my honest opinion.
Or humble,
it's true. Veronica's personal stake in what was unfolding. And that connection was there for the final episode. It had really been missing since the Dean O'Dell arc. Which, I kind of like the whole Dean O'Dell arc.
I'm going to miss Weevil.
Yeah. So anyway, just a counterpoint to your argument.
Thank you.
I won't start down on how much I loved Lost, how completely it fooled me, and how much I loved Jack and Kate in the finale. Mm. See, no spoiler on that one.
See, no, I love...
At least not until y'all email me back or respond on the show. Michael in Nashville.
I would have written him back.
Thus the y'all.
He could have forwarded it to me. I'd have written him back.
That might have gotten lost in our server shuffle a little bit,
that
too.
That could have been, too. Yeah, because our email was wonky for a while.
All right. Anybody else got any feedback that they want to pass along?
No, so the moral of the story is, be careful, we might read your email on the show.
But if you don't want us to, you can say that. And we won't.
Send us an email. That's like, if you don't want it read on the show or
say,
whatever,
please
just
don't
do not read
me.
This thing on the show.
And we won't, we promise.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that wraps up our mailbox, Prezi, and feedback.
I have to hide the magazines. I don't keep looking through them as we're talking.
Yeah. Sorry. Why isn't she saying anything? She's not paying attention.
She's sound of flipping pages.
Maniacal giggling.
All right, let's take a break so Christina can peruse the magazines.
I'll be in my bunk.
And we'll be back right after this.
Kirk.
Picard.
Kirk.
Picard.
Kirk!
Picard.
You know, I've always kind of liked Archer. Kirk!
Picard!
Darth fracking Vader. Oh, yeah.
SciFiSmackDown.com. We don't start fights. We finish them.
All good things must come to an end, and so does this show. Anybody got any closing thoughts?
If you have any suggestions for movies or shows or music we need to listen to or see or watch or do, email us.
Yeah, definitely.
Or any more free chocolate.
Yeah.
Or suggestions.
At our unofficial drop-off point.
Or like David's suggestions for good chocolate.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, definitely, you know, send us an email. If it's chocolate-related, send an email to Christina.
All right. I've lost 3 pounds. Leave me alone.
I found them several times over.
All I can say is pizza buffet for lunch.
Yeah. Yeah, we were sitting at the restaurant today before we recorded, and I said, I did pretty good today. I had oatmeal for breakfast and salad for lunch, and Glenn says, I had pizza buffet.
I had a freaking 30-ass minute wait in Rally drive-thru.
I do love their milkshakes,
because they're stupid.
Half chocolate, half banana. Very good.
Yeah, but you got to eat.
Oh, bad.
Yeah, but Yes, my final thought would be, I feel like I'm in TARDIS right about now.
Oh no.
Forget that.
I'm going to sleep on the couch.
I'm sleeping on the couch. It's comfortable.
No farting in the TARDIS. Do you mind not farting? I'm trying to save the world.
Ooh, I wish I had that sound. I need a sound effect board or something.
I could do
to
that. We could hook up the laptop. I could be sound effects bitch like I was in college.
What, if we can find some cart software. And
I was prop bitch and sound effect bitch. It was good.
And do something with that. That might be kind of cool. So, you know what's some good cart type of soundware? Soundware? Software? Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Sound software to drop sound effects in during a show. Email me the suggestion. We'll get on that.
Since Brad is tech geek extraordinaire.
Yeah.
And I'm just geek.
Starting to feel like Mac Meningay every day, except I got more hair.
Be easier.
Of course,
he
shaves his head.
So. Oh, well, good. Poor thing. Leave him alone.
So I guess it'd be easier to add the sound effects live than have to go back and edit them in later.
Exactly. You know, like where we get to a point after I make a bad joke, you can just cricket noise.
Do tumbleweeds make a noise?
Then everybody be like, why is there a sound bed of crickets through the whole show?
Yeah, okay. I know where you live, dude.
You can't say that in Kentucky. That's against the law. That's
deja vu.
That's a stalking threat.
Deja vu.
I said that before, didn't
yes,
I?
We did.
Yes, you have.
Just reminding you of the
summer
laws.
Reruns.
That's my job.
Yes, he's the enforcer. Oh.
I am the law.
Any closing thoughts, Christina?
None that I can think of. I don't want to go to dentist tomorrow. But it'll be okay.
All right. Okay, I guess we're
Warcraft.
About geeked out and it's getting late. So
yeah, it's about time for me to go play Warcraft,
it's
guys.
It's pumpkin time for me.
All right. Translation, that means shut the hell up so we can close out the show. All right, guys. We're out of here.
Cheers.
Be seeing you. And if you want to reach us here at Pod Culture Central, there are a few different ways, including these email addresses.
You can email any one of us at Brad, Glenn, or Christina at podculture.net.
And should they want to reach us the old-fashioned way?
That address would be Pod Culture, care of Chroma Entertainment, P.O. Box 4117, Jeffersonville, Indiana, 47131-4117.
You can also give us a call on the Pod Culture voicemail line, and that phone number is 1-206-338-3POD.
And there are also the official Pod Culture forums located at forums.podculture.net. And you'll find a link to that on our website, www.podculture.net.
So drop us a line, give us a call, or send us an MP3. Let us know how we're doing and what you'd like to hear on the show. We'd love to hear from you.
Pod Culture, equal opportunity geekness.
Be seeing you.